Welcome to Burning River Radio. I'm your host, Joe Koblitz, and I'm here as always with Justin Lotta.
Yo.
I gotta ask you, Justin, does anybody remember losing?
If you live in Cleveland, sure. I mean, if you're a football fan in Cleveland, you definitely remember losing. If you're more of a baseball fan, then you might never know what a loss is again.
I meant to ask you about that before I have my joke of the day. I didn't start off with it. We finally found out what happens when you have a truly offensive logo.
No.
Yeah. Irma was really triggered by the Miami Hurricanes.
Wow. We are reaching new lows on this podcast.
That was mine. I have another joke for later that's somebody else's.
Stop stealing jokes.
Well, no, that one was mine. The other one will be stolen, but I don't know who came up with it. It's a really, really old joke. Mm. I meant to ask you, do you watch the Browns? Do you give a shit?
It's kind of background noise for me on some weeks if I'm not too busy. Like, I didn't watch it yesterday because I went to the Indians game last night and I had to get all my shit done for the week during the day so I can come home and go to the bed after the game. So I didn't really watch yesterday.
I don't know. Like, I try to root for the Cardinals here in Arizona. I never rooted for the Browns in my life. When I started watching football, they didn't exist. So I rooted for the Dolphins. And then I kind of switched to the Steelers.
That's even dumber than not being a Browns fan at all.
No, but when the Steelers won the Super Bowl the first time, I realized, like, this isn't my team. Like, when they won it, I never celebrated. I was never like, oh, yes, my team finally won it. And my wife is in the same boat because when she started watching football, the Browns didn't exist either. So she rooted for the Packers. And the Packers won the Super Bowl, and she never went crazy or went anything. So when I moved to Arizona, I was like, yeah, I'll root for the Cardinals. And yesterday I watched a quarter of football and I was like, I'm done.
This is not a football podcast, so we should probably move on.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I don't give a shit. So if you like football, that's good for you. And I haven't really – last year I think I pissed off some Browns fans essentially by saying, if you're watching the Browns right now, like at any point in time during September, October, even early November – I was like, what are you doing? The Indians are playing and they're in the playoffs. Like, that's who you should be watching if you're in Cleveland. But now at this point, if you like football better, just whatever. I don't really give a shit. I would assume you don't listen to this.
Probably not. I don't know. School's back in session and it was a Sunday night, I guess. So whatever, but I was kind of pissed off last night how bad the Indians' attendance was.
Yeah, I really don't want to talk. I saw it tonight too, and it's not good. But I don't really want to go into that at this
point. And they're gonna win their 20th game in a row tomorrow, and it's probably gonna be the same. It's gonna be like, what was tonight's attendance? It was 18,000. That's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's so weird now because now there's no chance I could go to a game no matter what. You know, if I go to a game, I got to plan a year in advance.
Yeah.
And buy some plane tickets.
Maybe move back to Ohio and that wouldn't be an issue. Just saying.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. When I lived in Akron.
It's not 150 degrees here.
That's all right. It's only going to be 100 for another week or so. when I lived in Akron, we kind of did that. Like, I remember one series we bought it was against the Twins and we bought two games in a row, the first two games of the series, and they won both those games. And so we're like, you know what, let's buy the third game then, because, you know, since they won the first two, and then after they won the third game as well, we're like, okay, well, we might as well go again. And it was easy to just keep going. And if, like, I remember we went specifically one game because it was Kluber against Felix Hernandez a couple years ago. You know, it's easy to, like, pick out games like that. So if you're in the area And you see, oh, they're going to set a or going to win more games in a row, or potentially could win more games in a row than any team has since 1936.
Yeah.
I would think that that would get you down to the ballpark. I really don't want to talk attendance. What are we doing?
I don't either, but I'm still making the point that it's bullshit.
19 wins in a row, and I see two major points of discussion that have nothing to do with the winning streak at all.
Okay.
Okay, three, and one of them does.
Tomorrow's gambling line for the Indians game?
No, I'm not in Vegas.
Oh, well, in case you're wondering, I think I just wrote it's 550. So if you want to make, if you bet on the Indians tomorrow, you got to put down 550 to win 100.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
But you're closer to Vegas, so than I am.
Yeah,
so
it's not going to happen. The first thing that I want to talk about is Danny Salazar. And we may have talked about him somewhat recently, but it's kind of like all these things where you talk about maybe this will happen, if this happens, whatever. Well, now at least he's on the team. He's not on the disabled list anymore. He's actually pitching. He made a start. He didn't pitch well. He made a relief appearance. He pitched fairly well. I'm not going to go crazy over tonight.
I think fairly well is kind of an understatement.
Well, but the Tigers are terrible. They're awful.
Yeah, but
so you really
give a hit and he struck out one. That was it.
I'm not gonna go crazy over his bad start, and I'm not gonna go crazy over his good appearance of two innings. I'm not. I told you, Rob Stark got killed at the Red Wedding, and nothing has surprised me since. I don't get overly excited for these little things. You have professed the preference that you would like him to be in the bullpen.
I've been saying that since, like,
since you were like 2 years ago on this podcast.
Yeah.
I've actually been doing this podcast. It's actually, there's no one else on this podcast. It's just me, and I'm doing voices. And I'm pretending to be other people.
You're really good at it.
I know, and for some reason I keep fighting with my voices, and that's the problem here. I personally like Salazar in a rotation. I think what you're really talking about is Josh Tomlin more than anybody else, I think. And I'm not talking about the playoffs necessarily at this point, because you could bump Tomlin and not have him as the fourth starter. You could have Clevenger as the fourth starter. You don't really need five starters. But in the regular season, at least, and they've already said they're going to keep him in the bullpen for the rest of the regular season, Salazar.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about Tomlin versus Salazar, the fact that Josh Tomlin can Danny Salazar can strike out anybody in baseball, he's not necessarily going to do it anytime, but he can do it. Whereas Josh Tomlin can give up a home run against anybody in baseball. He can be the weakest hitter there is. And Dalvin can figure out how to get
your end game here.
My point is,
you're not really telling anybody anything they don't already know, so we should.
So my point is, if you're going to have one or the other, Tomlin, Salazar, especially against really good teams in the postseason, I much prefer to have Salazar. Now, you could say that they're both going to be on the postseason roster no matter what.
I don't think that's the case either.
Okay, I guess part of what we do on the website, and you know, by proxy on the podcast, on the podcast, is we try to diminish the extremes. I guess we like try to point out things that are not going to continue forever, and maybe like make decisions based on more advanced things than just he's had three good starts in a row. But Josh Tomlin is not the answer to anything to me. I just don't see any good happening from Josh Tomlin. He can throw some innings at the end of the season. I think they probably use his option for next year.
Why would
I hate well yeah, he's really cheap and they could even trade him and could probably get good return from that.
Yeah.
It's just, I hate him in the rotation. Him on the postseason roster bugs me even more.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to make the postseason roster. I think right now the rotation is Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, and Clevinger, and Salazar is in the bullpen.
Yeah, and Bauer's been so good, you can't. And Bauer is different than Tomlin, because even if their numbers may be the same, which Bauer's are better than Tomlin's, but not a ton, except for on the strikeout level. But Bauer has the ability to do things that Tomlin doesn't. Bauer can hit 97 or even 98 on his fastball, and Tomlin is more about 88, maybe 90 if he's really kicking it. And they both have a decent curve, but Bauer's is better. Bauer's change is better. Like everything that the change is obviously going to be better because he's throwing the fastball in 98. So when you're changing off of that, it's a much bigger difference.
I mean, we went through this last year where it seemed like we're talking in late September. Well, who's going to be left off the roster? Who's going to be, who's going to be in the bullpen? Because there's so many options. People are like, does Tomlin start? Does Bauer start? Does Salazar start? Does Carrasco? What do you do? And it figured itself out. So it'll.
Well, but Carrasco survived now. He doesn't have to face Ian Kinsler again this year.
This is true.
He's got three more starts by my count. I believe.
Although with the way guys have been getting hit with the ball on their forearms and hands lately, like Ramirez again tonight, you never know.
I think Kinsler. It wasn't intentional. Kinsler to be the guy that hits Santana.
Oh well, I mean
that's so annoying to me. It was not intentional. It was not. There's no way. Because he didn't know Santana was going to be there. Like, if he just throws that ball there and Santana's a little slower, then that ball might go into the stands and Santana's on second. So,
well, if Kinsler had that kind of accuracy, he'd be pitching. So, I really doubt it.
it's just so annoying that last year he ended Carrasco's season and then this year. And it's funny because some people say, like, I've seen a couple of people say, well, the Indians are going into the postseason with the same roster, except for they added Carrasco. And then some people go further and say they added Encarnacion and Bruce and
true.
Joe Smith, I guess. But the biggest thing is Carrasco. But Carrasco didn't get hurt until like 2 weeks into September, if I remember right.
Yeah,
I think it was the second week of September that he got hurt last year. So they had him. Yeah, they had him in early September last year. Yeah. It wasn't until after that. And they had Bauer until the ALCS.
Bauer pitched in the World
Series. Whatever. Yeah. But he didn't rip his finger open until the ALCS.
Either way, I think, as long as there's no more stupid injuries, the way things have gone, Salazar in the bullpen works out nicely if he's at least for the ALDS, he's under command, or if he gets things under control, I don't know if you heard, but I know you don't listen to the.
Assume I didn't.
Okay, because yeah, I know you don't like to listen to, the Indians home broadcast on TV.
No, I did this. I did tonight.
Oh well, then you heard that supposedly the Indians won't be able to throw Andrew Miller for two innings at a time in the playoffs. So that's why having Salazar on the bullpen is even more interesting, because if they really, truly, and I don't expect them to follow, it depends on how he looks when he comes back. But if it's true, they can't really, put him out there for two innings at a time. Having Salazar, if he can make things work, kind of guards against that. And, you only need six innings from a starter and one inning from Salazar and one inning from Miller and Shaw or Allen or Smith or, whoever.
Well,
and having Salazar in the bullpen also takes Zach McAllister out of the equation in the playoffs, which I'm happy.
Yeah, and I do trust this year's bullpen more than last year's. I like Nick Goody a lot. I like Tyler Olson so far, even though there's some stuff to question about both of them, but they've both been solid pitchers. And it really, what hopefully that allows you to do, and really the biggest thing isn't the bullpen, it's the starting rotation. Because last year, you knew if every series went the distance that Kluber was going to have to pitch multiple times in every series. Now, luckily, they swept the first series, and then they got through the second one fairly quickly, so he only had to pitch three times in the World Series. But this year, he's not pitching three times in a series. That's not going to happen. They don't need that unless people get hurt.
Well, so, if you go to game seven, he can have them, and he can go 1-4 and maybe
what
two.
What I'm saying is, but last year in the World Series, they went short with him every time. It was like Kluber would come in, they pitched 5-6 innings. If he only has to pitch twice in a series, in a 7-game series, then he could go 8 or 9 innings. And that really saves your bullpen for the next 8. And then Carrasco can go 7 or 8 innings. You know, like you can expect these guys to stay in a game a lot longer than Tomlin and 2016 Bauer. And Merritt, Merritt went 4 innings, I think, against Toronto. But you can expect every single one of the Indian starters to last longer than that. So I really don't think they'll need their bullpen as much as they needed it last year.
No, and that's the good thing is now if you have, it's like you said, it's a lot better this year because you saw last night that Tito trusted Nick Goody in the 8th inning of a 1-run game, and he did his job. Joe Smith's been reliable as ever. Like you said, Olsen's been good. Shaw is having his best month of the last couple of seasons, I think, right now. Throwing 98 with his cutter, and he's walking guys at an all-time low, and he's no longer – or he's starting to miss bats again. I think there's a stretch in June where he got 2 swings and misses. So Shaw's looking
well, and I think
Allen's looked better recently, and if you add Miller back to the bullpen, which he hasn't pitched an inning during the winning streak, and then Danny Salazar for 1 inning, I think he can manage that in a postseason, hopefully.
Yeah, I think the secret to all those guys, to Sean Allen and all those guys, is to make sure they don't pitch every single day in September. I mean, you've already got this division locked up. There's no chance you don't win the Central Division. They're probably going to finish ahead of Boston.
And they're 2.5 games up on Houston right now.
They may finish ahead of Houston. Save those guys. I would say once every 3 days. Exactly. I think whether you need them or not, pitch them exactly once every 3 days, all of them, and rest them up, but keep them on a regular schedule until you get to the postseason.
Especially Sean Allen. Actually, you can probably get Miller in because Miller claims he needs 5 or 6 outings to get to where he needs to be.
But you can still do that every 3 days. Pitch him once every 3 days, and he's going to get those 5 outings in. So it's not – he's supposed to be back within 2 days, I think.
Right, and you just limit Shaw and Allen because, you know, Shaw still leads the league in appearances.
Mm. Okay, we need to break this up with my second joke.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so you may not have heard this one before. I don't know.
This may be the end of the podcast right here.
I hope so. It's way worse than the first one. All right, so this guy is talking to a hooker in New York City. And he goes, "How much for a handy?" And she goes, $1,000. He's like, "Are you fucking kidding me? I'm not going to pay you $1,000 for a handy." And she goes, "You see this car? It's a Lamborghini." And he goes, "Yeah." And she goes, I pay for that car with the money I got from handies." He goes, "Okay, well, that's crazy. So how much for a blowjob?"
Oh, boy. We've entered a very awkward part of this podcast.
Okay, and she goes, "That's $10,000. He goes, "You are insane." And she goes, "Look at this building behind you. You see that?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I bought that building with the money I got from blowjobs." And he goes, "Okay, well, I don't even want to ask, but how much is it to fuck you and your pussy?" And she goes, "You see this island you're standing on?" And he goes, "Manhattan?" And she's like, "Yeah." They're like, "There's no way." And she says, "Yeah, that's how much money I'd have if I had a pussy."
Okay, wow.
And the point of the joke is someone asked me the other day, what if Giovanni Ursula could hit?
Wow, that was a really long, strange trip around the sun.
And that's my response.
I don't have one.
Yeah, Giovanni Ursula can't hit. Just deal with it. It is what I mean. He's had a couple hits in the winning streak, but everybody has. He cannot hit. John McDonald cannot hit. He never hit. It didn't happen. His whole career. He played a long career, and he never hit safely once in like a decade. And I'm on Baseball Reference right now, and it says that zero hits in 1,000 at-bats.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, that was quite the point about, I mean, you could have probably just been a little more direct about that, I suppose.
Is that not a great joke?
It's not great.
Oh, you're an asshole. I heard that joke when I was a kid.
Wow, you've been watching Giovanni Urshela play baseball for a long time then.
Stuck with me all these years.
So you know Giovanni so you're saying Giovanni Urshela couldn't hit when he was a teenager?
You're mixing the illusions.
Yes, he's doing it on purpose.
Justin, you ever had fun in your life?
I try.
Really?
Yeah. Some nights.
I feel like, is sarcasm and trolling fun for you? I mean, is that the...
Have you ever seen my Twitter feed?
Yeah, and I read it, and it's a bunch of sarcasm and trolling.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's
what that is right now.
There's life beyond that. Tranny hookers. That's where the
life is. Giovanni Urshela can't hit, as well as tranny hookers can make money.
I guess my point is in this, and really the secondary point came after. Somebody asked me the other day, what if he could hit, and that joke came to my mind, and I felt like I had to share it. But the secondary point is that they announced today that Jason Kipnis is going to play center field. And my tweet immediately after was, not the first one, but one of them was, brought to you by the people who said, Mike Aviles is a great center fielder, and Michael Martinez is a Major League Baseball player.
You know, I thought
Jason Kipnis in center field. I thought your
joke was going to be the most awkward thing I've heard or seen in a week. But if in a week we see Jason Kipnis in center field, that's going to be more awkward.
That was a terrible. You see, that was awful.
I'm proud of it. Don't care. I'm proud of it.
And the thing is, you remember, like, in Little League? You played Little League, right?
Plenty of times, yes.
In Little League, you stick the shittiest fielder in right field. The guy who can't catch and can't throw. You put him in right field because almost everybody pulls the ball, and almost everybody's right-handed. So very few balls get hit to right field, so you just put the shittiest guy. The Indians stick their shittiest fielder in center field. Aviles, Martinez, it doesn't matter. They're going to stick their shittiest fielder. Austin Jackson, whoever is the shittiest fielder, they just put him right in center field. And they're like, fuck it, we're going to try this.
Well, I feel like Mike Aviles was more out of, not necessity, but just somewhat desperation. I don't know.
But what is this? Like, to me, we can go through your perfect situations. And I said it to somebody today that the best offensive Indians infield is Kipnis at second, Lindor at short, and Ramirez at third. The best defensive infield is Ramirez at second, Lindor at short, and Ursula at third.
Right.
And those are your only two options. There's no other options because Diaz is not a better hitter than Kipnis when he's healthy.
And he's not a better fielder than Urshela.
Yeah, so like, those are your two options. If you want your best defense in there, you have Urshela at third, and you're going to – honestly, I don't know if you're really giving up a whole lot. That may be the best thing, and have Kipnis on the bench or DH or you know, find someplace in him where not going to hurt the team more than he helps it. Or if you want to go for offense, put him in at second. He's a very fine second baseman. He makes all the plays he's supposed to make. I don't know that I've ever seen Kipnis mess up a routine ground ball. He is not going to get to that ball that Ursula got to the other day that was way up the middle. He doesn't even have the range of Ramirez. But if the ball is hit to him, he's going to make an out on it. And he's going to hit if he's healthy. So I don't understand fucking up with, you know, he's been the starting second baseman since 2011.
Well, I would say that at least I'm not really on board with this because, number one, there's a lot of stupid people out there that are like, oh, he played outfield in college. Oh,
I hate that so much.
He played seven games 9 years ago in rookie ball. Yeah. He'll be fine. No, he won't be. That's not like, can you imagine Jason Kipnis playing center field in at Mahoning Valley versus or being anywhere near the same thing as playing center field in Houston? Thank God, you know, Talis Hill is gone, but Jesus, it's not the same thing. And
did you see my response on one of them? He retired a couple of years ago, but Rafael Betancourt came up as a shortstop with Boston.
Right.
When he was a minor leaguer in Boston, he was a shortstop for years, and it wasn't until after he went to Japan and played that he became a pitcher. I think he started in Boston, but really himself up as a pitcher was when he pitched in Japan, and then the Indians signed him after that. Could you imagine, like, the Rockies last year or 2 years ago when he was on the team being like, oh, we need a shortstop. Let's just throw Rafael Betancourt out there.
Because he used to do it, yeah.
Right. He used to play shortstop. It's such an insane thing. It makes no sense at all.
Here's how you can put it in Cleveland terms. I'll put it from yesterday's game. Kenny Britt, no surprise, is a shitty wide receiver. The Browns overpaid for again. So he's terrible, and Joe Thomas is really good at his position. He's played football his entire life, so maybe Joe Thomas should just play wide receiver because he's good at football and Kenny Britt's not. So that should resonate more with Cleveland's fans. They probably aren't listening to this, actually, so that was probably pointless.
I don't know. Yeah, you lost me on that one.
At least they're – you know what? I'm not on board with Kipnis playing center field right now, especially in the playoffs, but I will say I'm glad they at least are acknowledging that things are excuse me, I can't get the words out of my mouth, that Kipnis is going to play center field. At least they're acknowledging that the infield is kind of settled, and they realize that Ramirez at second and the combination of Diaz and Urshela at third is too good right now to bring Kipnis back.
Is it, though? I mean, okay, since the winning streak began, Carlos Santana has missed multiple games with an injury. Jay Bruce has missed multiple games with an injury. Bradley Zimmer missed multiple games with an injury and now is out for the season. Like, they've had guys who are in the starting lineup who have missed significant time. And as somebody tweeted today, I don't recall who it was, the only player who's played in every single game
is
Giovanni Ursula.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no set. It's not set. It is a constantly moving thing, and before every game, when they post the lineup, somebody goes, oh, this is it. This terrible lineup is going to be the end of it. And I've said multiple times, it really seems like Francona could put out whatever lineup he wants to. Diaz is hitting, Ursula's hitting, Perez is hitting, Gomes is hitting. All the guys who never hit.
Urshela played second base on Saturday.
Yeah. I think that was one of the – well, no, I think it was Sunday that there was a lot of feedback that people said that they were going to lose for sure.
No, it was Saturday because Urshela played second and
– It might have been Saturday. But it doesn't matter. Like, the point is all of these guys are hitting like crazy right now. If Andre Knott said during the game that nobody's hitting over their head. Yeah, sure they aren't. Yeah, nobody is. Fucking – I think Ramirez, they said, has 17 extra base hits and 6 singles in his – last 23 hits. Nobody's hitting over their head at all.
No, that's about right. You know, it's Jose.
Sure. Yes, he's going to keep doing that for the rest of his career. Barry Bonds didn't hit 17 extra base hits out of every 23 hits. Yes, they are.
It's good they acknowledge that. Actually, and you know what? I'm not even worried about where Kipnis plays defensively as much as I am about his bat, because there's, what, 20 games left or something like that? I mean, how many games you got to – I mean, number one, he's not ready to play all nine innings of a game, Tito said. And he's not ready to play multiple games in a row, obviously. So, like, you've got to work him in four or five innings at a time.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Well, yeah, but – okay, you're right. That probably is ideal. But
you have plenty of time.
He's been hurt so much this year. He's missed so much time. I mean, is 20 games and whatever at-bats he's going to get, even because he's not going to play all 20 games, is that enough time for him to
– Yeah. That's almost spring training. Spring training is 30 games, and it's most guys play every other day at most, and they play 3 to 4 innings at the beginning of it. I think through 20 games, they can ramp him up definitely to full strength by the end of the season, assuming he comes back within the next week. Which is that's the thing about Salazar, and why I said it's such a big deal that we're not speculating anymore. He is actually on the team because Miller, Brantley and Kipnis are not. They are still on the disabled list. And Miller threw today, which is Monday. Miller threw and gave up a double to Kipnis. So take what you want out of that. So they're actually close. The two of them are on the road back. I do think the Brantley situation is really interesting because they haven't given up on him yet. Honestly, I think I would have if I were them. I would just say he's done for the year. Let's move on, because he can't even put full weight on his ankle yet.
On flat ground, yeah.
And he's supposed to come back and play left field. He's not a better hitter than Edwin Encarnacion is right now. So you're not going to DH him.
He's not even a good left fielder anymore.
That's what I'm saying, is if he can't run, and that's kind of what I was saying about Kipnis today specifically, is you're saying right now, today, Monday, Jason Kipnis cannot run well enough to play baseball. That's a game that Prince Fielder and Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez play. Kipnis can't run enough to play with those guys. Right? He can't run the bases. Or
you mean Brantley?
No, I'm saying Kipnis.
I think
Kipnis that's why can. He's on the DL. No, Kipnis can't. He's hurt. His hamstring is hurt. He's hurt so bad he's on the DL. He cannot perform the same task that those other guys I just mentioned did do.
In a real game right now, yeah. But I mean, he's doing it.
That's my point. So, in a week, he can play center field. The most athletic position on the field, the one where you have to run the most, he can play that in a week. That's so stupid. It's ridiculous. It makes no fucking sense at all. Yeah, in a week, he can play center field, but he can't play second base today. How is that possible? So, with Brant...
The answer is that they taught... Oakland A's taught Scott Hatterberg how to play first base when it's supposed to be incredibly hard, and they won 20 in a row.
But you don't have to move. Teach
Jason Kipnis play center field, which is incredibly hard, and they're going to win 20 in a row.
But you can be a serviceable first baseman and barely move. You can't be a good first baseman, but you can be a service. You can cover the base and catch the ball.
It was a joke, but yeah, I get your point.
I got you.
Thanks for listening, joke.
Your jokes aren't as good as mine.
I know I got 10 years earlier, and now you're killing mine. I get it.
Everyone's going to love my jokes.
Sure. They're being nice.
Bringing that up was if Brantley can't run now, right? He can't run on with his full weight on the ground.
Right. He can run on a weightless treadmill.
Yeah, which I wish I had. Holy shit, that would be awesome.
Right.
But, so he can't run full speed right now. How is he going to play left field ever at all in this thing? And then you're talking about an outfield that against a right-handed pitcher, which the majority of pitchers are right-handed still, despite everything we've tried to do over the last 50 years in making everyone left-handed. You could potentially have an outfield of Brantley, Kipnis, Bruce. That might not catch anything ever, and you would have to change that K for 9 from 10 per game to 27 per game.
Yeah.
That's frightening. On the postseason roster. Yeah, and for a team that has scored, I mean, they've scored 7 runs a game or close to that during the winning streak. But even before that, they were scoring pretty well. And in previous seasons, I've gotten on the Indians for having a poor offense. But their offense has been great all year this year, even when they weren't scoring. And that may sound wrong, but it's accurate.
Not to jump ahead, but let's just put ourselves in a scenario where the Indians will be on the road for, I mean, at the moment, conceivably, at least, okay, we know at the very least they'll be on the road for 3 games in the World Series, at the very least. If somehow they don't face the Dodgers, they'll be on the road for only 3. Then you have an outfield, potentially.
Carlos Santana.
Brantley in left field, if he's healthy. Jason Kipnis in center field, if he can handle it. And you're probably putting Carlos Santana in right field because his bat is better than Jay Bruce.
I do feel like a little bit we're making up some straw men because, like I said, with the way the Indians score runs, they don't necessarily need every single offensive contributor in there at every moment. And I could easily see them – if Francona is comfortable playing Greg Allen as a starting center fielder every day, potentially, just to have that defense in there, or – playing, if he's not comfortable with Greg Allen, playing Austin Jackson every day, which is nowhere near as bad as Jason Kipnis will be, I'm sure, or as Chisenhall has been in his brief forays into center field.
I don't know. I guess, like you said, you don't need every good offensive player. Well, I mean, if that's the case, though, like I said, we keep getting ahead of ourselves. But, you know, do you just leave Santana on the bench and go with defense and use him as a pinch hitter?
No, you got to start Santana. And which is kind of the opposite of what I've said. Remember back when we talked about this like a month ago, and I had said, my preference would be you start Urshela there every day because you never know when you're going to need an excellent play at third base, but you know when you're going to need a hit. So you can just pinch hit Diaz whenever you need it. They've literally done the exact opposite. They've started Diaz almost every day and then put in Urshela almost every single game late in the game at third base.
Yeah, but so I guess the logic is still that you use that bat to get a, hopefully get a lead, and then
yeah, that, but
if you have a lead, it's you know, preventing runs after you already have a lead.
But what I'd say about the
I think the math comes down to this: does Diaz help produce more runs than Urshela saves?
Yeah, and I think that's at the time when we initially discussed this, they had an equal WAR. Like they were exactly equal in baseball. But I said, well, at the time, which was before the winning streak, the Indians were having a harder time scoring runs than they were preventing them. So I said, well, yeah, you go with Diaz over Urshela slightly. At this point, Carlos Santana doesn't kill you that bad in right field. And
not at all. No, I think right now
he's such a better hitter. Yeah, he's such a better hitter than Chisenhall or even Jackson or any of those other guys, that even better than Bruce.
Yeah.
That I would say if you're talking about a possible World Series, and that is a little bit in front to talk about the World Series, but if you're talking about needing Santana's bat in the lineup, yes, you can put him in right field. And he's worth so much more than the other options that you can put Allen in center field and not worry that he's less than the other options because you're going to save runs defensively, hopefully.
I would agree. And on that combination,
I need a bell.
If Brantley's playing left, And Kipnis is in center, and Santana's in right. Currently, I feel more comfortable about Santana in right than I do about the other two.
That's true, but I would like to...
That's not good.
I'd like to pretend that we live in reality.
Yeah.
There's a point, really. I mean, legitimately, he's done.
I agree.
There's just not enough time left.
I don't think so either, but I'm just saying, if that's their scenario, then that's not
I will say, you want to discuss roster construction in the postseason. I wouldn't mind a Brantley pulling a Kurt Gibson on two bad knees, pinch hitting.
Yeah, sure.
But there's no way he should be starting if he cannot run. And that's just what we're hearing right now, is that he's on a gravity reduced thing. Like, that's not good at all. I mean, if Kipnis is out there hitting doubles off of Andrew Miller, at least we got some positive things to go on.
Yeah. He said following one off was the best at bat he ever had off him.
Yeah, but then he had a double off him. So, I mean, if...
Right.
If that's how Kipnis' bat is, then, yeah, get him back in there. I honestly, like, they didn't put Bradley Zimmer on the disabled list after he broke his hand. Yeah. Because... You don't have to. He's on the 40-man roster. You're going to pay him the same way you would anyway. You might as well just leave him on the roster and give him his money. He'll make a little bit more money, because I don't believe you get the per diem if you're on the disabled list. So it's not a ton of money. To me, it's a little bit of respect to leave him off. Why are Miller and Kipnis on the disabled list? Like, there's no – like, you can just not play somebody.
Well, because they, at the time they were on the DL, it was still August, but they're multimillionaires already, and Zimmer's not.
Well, yeah, no, I get it. They're being nice to him by giving him his, you know, like giving him his due, even though he got hurt. Because especially the way he got hurt was really him. Being the best thing at the best thing. They're giving him credit, and that's nice of them to not put him on the DL. But the fact, like, they've had Sean Morimoto on the team since first, and he hasn't pitched in a game.
So he's just getting paid, yeah.
They've had Kyle Crockett on the team since shortly after then, and he's pitched in one game. Really, they've not used the majority. Their pitching call-ups, they haven't used at all. Armstrong, Crockett. Plutko is still officially on Lynchburg's roster, even though Lynchburg's season is over.
That's sad.
Morimondo, you know, hasn't pitched at all. Those guys that they brought up, they haven't used at all. They've used Mejia and Allen because they kind of have to get regular guys' days off. Like when they're winning 11-0, you know, and you want to pull some guys. They have to use those guys, but they don't have to use Morimondo to give guys extra rest. Since Ryan Merritt made his last start, he hasn't appeared in a game.
Okay.
So that's like, if they needed, let's say Danny Salazar came out and pitched one inning and they needed a pitcher to go the next five, they could use, you know, Merritt before they use Morimondo. Of course, they still didn't.
Well, I think you're going to see one of them pitch the day after they clinch.
Maybe, but since Tomlin's not going to be in the postseason, there's no way he's in the postseason starting rotation. I think he will be on the roster because they put such an emphasis on respect.
Yeah, I guess.
Veteran, like, to find a spot for Tomlin on the postseason roster. Maybe even over like a Dan Otero, who.
No.
But the thing is, like, if you're talking about value, Otero is so valuable because he's that ground ball pitcher. And if you can't bring in Miller to strike out automatically the next batter, you got a bases loaded. Yeah, you got a bases loaded nobody out situation. You want to go to Miller. If you can't go to Miller, you want to go to Otero more than Allen or Shaw or anybody.
Smith.
Yeah, you'd want to go to Otero. I think.
Smith keeps the ball on the ground too a lot.
But to me, like, so he's worth Otero's worth more than Tomlin is, but maybe if you're talking about keeping all these guys, maybe they don't keep McAllister, which seems really odd because he's pitched really well this year.
Why? He just pitched tonight for the first time in a week. He hasn't pitched in a game that matters. That's mattered. I'm gonna go back and look at the games he's entered in.
But Goody hasn't either. And Goody's been great all year too.
Goody pitched a one-run game last night.
Very rarely. I'm not saying you gotta be literal, Justin.
The hell's pitched a one-run game was that Yankees series in July. Or August, sorry.
Yes, but they don't. Obviously, Francona trusts like three people. Maybe that's growing a little bit. He trusts Olsen and Smith a little bit now.
Yeah.
Who he didn't have before. But in general.
Here are the. Listen to the scores of the games McAllister's pitched recently. I'll go back to.
This will be entertaining.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, he gave up the game. He gave up the go-ahead home run on August 5th, and the Indians lost the Yankees 2-1. He pitched versus Colorado in a one-run game, which he gave up. He gave up the game-winning homer in that game too. That was the 12th inning. After that appearance, here's the scores: 8-1, 9-3, 7-4, 9-1, 12-0, 9-4, 11-1, 9-4. So the closest game he's pitched in since allowing go-ahead home runs in back-to-back games at the beginning of August. The closest game he's pitched in is a three-run game. Clearly not – Teeter doesn't trust
him. Well, but also, this, like, Francona is the – easily the greatest Indians manager in my lifetime, probably the greatest since Lou Boudreau. That's – it's really more on a personnel issue – though, than anything else, and also because the Indians have had a lot of really shitty managers. Mike Hargrove way overmanaged back in the 90s, like, and Eric Wedge was an asshole.
And, yeah.
You know, everybody knows that. So it's easy to be the best. Like, there's no competition. But it doesn't mean he's perfect, and he makes mistakes all the time.
Sure.
And I like I said, I think any of these in this winning streak, there were three or four lineups in there specifically that looked like he was trying to lose the game. The one I remember most is really early on in the streak against Detroit, I think it was, on September 1st, the second game. The lineup he put out there was like really, oh, whatever, who cares? We already won. We've won like five games in a row. If we lose this, seven games in a row, something like that. Who cares? If we lose, it doesn't matter. We've got the Central on lock. Let's just play this game and move on tomorrow, and then they won it. But there's been quite a few of those, and his use of pitchers has always been suspect. Back to when he was with Boston. I mean... So, he's not perfect, and I don't want to deify anybody.
Sure.
So to say he hasn't used McAllister in tight situations, yes, he hasn't, but that doesn't mean McAllister couldn't be used in tight situations. Just like Goody. Goody has pitched fantastic all season. He could be used in tight situations if they wanted to. Just like Merritt. Hasn't pitched in 2 weeks. He could pitch if they wanted to. He's being very. I feel like he's still abusing Shaw and Allen. Like, just go to somebody else. Other pitchers are capable of throwing a shutout inning. It's not just those two guys.
Well, he's gone to Smith. He's gone to Olsen. He's gone to Goody.
Yeah, 19 games into it. 18 games into it.
Well, they haven't. Guys haven't pitched a lot because there's been a lot of blowouts too. Shaw's usage has gone down since Smith got here, and then during the playoffs,
it's been. Yeah, he's still pitched a lot.
Let me see Brian Shaw's game log since this winning streak started.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I was looking at it earlier, and he's still pitching at least every other day.
Let's see. This is 19 games. He's pitched 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He hasn't even pitched in half of the games that during the night. Okay, he's pitched in half. One of them was a doubleheader, though. Or I'm sorry, he pitched in both doubleheaders.
Yes, and so did Allen. Because there was a point where Allen had pitched in like somebody said Allen pitched 7 games in a row, and I was like, no, he didn't. But he pitched 7 days in a row because he had pitched in both doubleheaders or something like that, or 7 out of 8 or something. You know, the point is he's still – whatever. I mean, they're winning a ton of games. You got to be happy with it. But
we're nitpicking, yes.
The point is I don't care about the – setting a – beating the A's would be fun because fuck the A's.
Sure.
You know, beating their 20-game winning streak.
By the way,
nowhere.
I don't even know how we got to where we're going. I thought we were talking about the postseason roster, and we got to.
It's kind of on the same thing. Did you watch the movie? You watched the movie. Fuck the A's.
Yes, I did see the movie.
So beating that would be cool, but honestly, I don't really give a shit because I feel like they've already clinched the Central. They've got this magic number's like 6 and.
I'm just gonna jinx it right now because I'm an asshole. But I didn't know this without looking at it. Cody Allen has not allowed a run since August 9th.
I think I knew that.
I didn't know that. He's pitched in the streak 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So he and Shaw have pitched in half the games. That I don't feel like that's overuse.
Well, you want to know a real secret? Jinxing?
Sure.
Cody Allen has never given up a run in the postseason.
This is true. You're right. This is absolutely true.
And I didn't realize that until I have a list. I have 2 top 10 lists coming out in late September for the top 10 hitters in the postseason and in career hitters. Last year I did for the postseason for the Indians, I did the best players in one NLCS, one ALCS, one ALDS, one World Series. And I did top 10 lists for all 3 of them, and I included pitchers and hitters on the same lists. And that was kind of fun. And I thought about doing that over again this year because obviously I think Roberto Perez needs some credit for the World Series. Andrew Miller, obviously, for the ALCS in particular.
Sure.
You know, Corey Kluber for the World Series. There's a couple guys who probably would break into those lists. But rather than redoing those lists, I decided to do cumulative postseason, everything they ever did in the postseason. So I've got those lists coming out. It'll be at the end of the month, so it's like still 2 weeks away, 2+ weeks away. But one of those guys on there is Cody Allen because he gave up an unearned run in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
In that wild card game. But after that, he hasn't given up any runs of any kind in 2016. Mm-hmm. And it's really incredible that he had a better postseason than Andrew Miller. And Andrew Miller got all the credit.
No credit for it, yeah.
And if Allen didn't exist, then Miller couldn't. We've talked about this before in the regular season, too. If Allen wasn't the closer, then Miller would be the closer. And you wouldn't be able to use him in the 5th or 6th inning when you need to. You'd have to save him for maybe in the 9th we might need him. But that's the greatness of the Indians' bullpen being so deep. And we could talk about guys like Goody and Otero and McAllister.
No.
But the fact is those guys are like 5, 6, 7.
Right.
And it'll take a lot for them to get to that point.
Let's also take notice that, now this is off topic, the Indians, by Pythagorean wins and losses, should be 93-50.
So you're saying these? I didn't check this up. I wanted to look that up the other day, and I was thinking, like, have they finally caught up with all these wins in a row? But they still haven't caught up. That's hilarious.
By base runs, they're still underperforming by 6 wins.
That's great. That is so. That's like it doesn't even make sense. Like the math. Well, like you can't win 19 games in a row. Still.
The reason it's going to go like that is because they've had such a lot. I think I saw yesterday the Indians are winning by an average of 5 runs during this winning streak.
Well, they're 100 runs over.
Right.
Over 19 games.
Right. So you're not going to catch up to your – if they would have won a bunch of one-run games in this streak, they would have probably caught up to their category wins and losses and base runs. But because they're blowing teams out, it still spreads it out further. It keeps saying, well, because you're scoring so many runs and allowing so few, you're still outperforming it. If they would have won, like, 12 one-run games, they probably would have caught up.
Yeah, and I should look up this shit, and I probably will once it ends. But I wonder on these other winning streaks. What? Oh, yeah.
You're going to look it up in November?
I'll look it up in the other regular season. Because okay. I feel like regular season and postseason is different anyway. Or actually, maybe I'll have to look up next April. But if the Cubs and was it the New York Giants and the New York Baseball Giants and the A's, I feel like they didn't dominate like this. I know the A's had a couple extra inning wins towards the end of their streak.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I remembering that wrong? I haven't seen the movie in a couple of years.
They had three extra inning wins, I think, three walk-off wins to end it. But I think they had, like, a run differential of, like, 78.
All right, that's still pretty good. But the Indians have only had two one-run wins, and is that right? I just looked it up. I think it was two one-run wins.
I think it was four.
In the streak?
Three or four.
Maybe it was 3-1 by one run and 2 by 2 runs.
Well, the two doubleheaders against New York and Detroit both had a one-run win, and then wasn't Saturday a one-run?
It might have been Saturday.
Okay, so.
But they've had a couple. But it's like five total within two runs out of 19 straight wins. Mm-hmm. And honestly, people are probably going to listen to this tomorrow. Anyway, Kluber's going. If Kluber loses, it would be such a bigger shock than winning 19 straight.
It would be, especially against Detroit, yeah. Here's a fun little fact, too. Yeah, since Bradley Zimmer's done for the year, he'll avoid striking out 100 times. He was at 99. Looks like Gomes will probably strike out 100 times. He's at 91. Santana might strike out 100. He's at 85. Lindor's at 83. I don't think either makes to 100, honestly. Whenever Gomes will get to 100, but if nobody else gets to 100 besides he and Encarnacion, they'll have two guys on the whole team that struck out 100 times. That's it.
And I'll tell you, I've been tracking Santana's because I keep track of all of our milestone things, and he's very close to moving up to whatever it is, third or fourth in Indians history in total strikeouts. And he struck out once in like the last 10 games.
Yep.
It's really incredible how he's just – and he's walked a ton. Like, he was pretty far off from being even, and now he's at, like, 82 to 85, I believe.
He's at 85-80 right now, yeah.
No, he had two today. Those aren't in that number.
Oh, so yeah, he is. You're right. Wow.
So he's at 82-85. So, like, he was striking out a bit, but he's not anymore. And, I mean, he was slumping during the first – a large part of the first half of the season, Santana was.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice and like crazy. That's got to be it tonight, unless you have a joke for us, Justin.
Do I ever?
I don't.
My joke.
One of these.
So, you know.
One of these days, Justin, you'll let us learn to love you.
Maybe.
You'll come out of your shell. It'll be good.
That'll be a good day.
How many wins in a row?
19?
No, obviously you didn't do it tonight. So, like, they got to win 26, 27.
Let's see. Let me look at the schedule real quick just to check. I know they got
52.
Huh?
52 wins in a row. Is that enough?
Well, they got, let's see. Tomorrow's 20. Wednesday is 21. They have four against KC. So that's 26, right?
In Los Angeles.
I'll go 26. I'll say they'll lose their first game in, on the road trip and on the West Coast. So I'll say 26.
Okay, so when they win 26 in a row, you're going to come back on this podcast with a joke.
Okay. Good deal. I can find one by then.
You know, I try to make this entertaining for people.
And I try to balance it out, you know.
And so you try to count.
It's good to have some ebb and flow, okay?
You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then I make a joke.
It's good to have some ebb and flow there.
And which one am I?
I like to think that I'm the flow and you're the ebb.
Okay.
Then again, you did have the tranny hooker joke, so maybe I'm the flow and the ebb, and you're just...
joke. That's a goddamn great joke. If I didn't tell it right, fine, but...
Hey, the Indians have 3 15-game winners, in case you're wondering. Like, because we know wins matter.
I don't remember very many jokes. Like, I watch stand-up comedy all the time, and I rarely remember the jokes. And that wasn't a stand-up joke. That was some written thing.
Joke you read as a kid, obviously, yeah.
I read it as a kid, but...
Explain
for one to, for one to stick with me, I got one about the Pope and a Yankees fan eventually. Maybe next time.
Maybe next week.
Gotta leave you with a cliffhanger. Next time we do a podcast, the Indians have a 26-game winning streak or 25. No, we'll do it after the game. So 26-game winning streak, and I'll tell you a joke about the Pope.
A lot to look forward to.
All right. So make sure you come back next time. BringRiverBaseball.com, at BringRiverBB, at JL_baseball. Hit it.